Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
SMQBs, episode 236. We have a special guest in the house. Moose Jaw, welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
It's all a little uncomfortable with Rooster and Moose Jaw on today at the same time.
I know. Yes. I know. His Jays have just demoralized the Yankees. It's awful.
We're down a House and a Pope, but Moose easily makes up for the both of them. Hey, Moose, right. Who are you bringing to the bar this week?
Oh, I got to tell you. I want to take two people.
You could do it.
Okay, I want to take Trey Yosevich for his performance yesterday. At one point, he had struck out 10 of 12 and I think 11 of 13. Like, that was...
He's a rookie, right?
He had 14 innings of major league experience before yesterday.
This has happened twice in this playoff.
Yeah, and he started in Class A ball this year. And then I wanted... And I got to bring his teammate, Dalton Varsho. Two home runs, two doubles, four RBIs, and off of left-handed pitching as well. And just an incredible performance by those two. Vladdy can come along if he wants, but he gets enough free drinks anyway. So I'm going to take those two guys with me.
Nice. I like it. All right, Rooster, let's stick with the drama in Toronto. Who are you bringing to the bar?
I also am bringing two people. The first one is the ghost of Billy Martin, so that hopefully he could figure out how to breathe a little life into our robot manager, Aaron Boone. And then my man, Mr. October, Reggie Jackson, I'm hoping he can breathe some Mr. October juice into Aaron Judge.
I love your disgust towards Boone. Reminds me of my disgust towards Napier. I really feed off it.
I think you should be buying him a drink this week.
No. We'll get to that later.
Who are you bringing, Milk?
Don't you dare go there. I'm going to change up. I'm going to go to college football, change it from MLB. I'm going to take Arch Manning. Had a chance to watch him this weekend.
You have a McDonald's franchise you want to sell him?
I feel bad
because he's not going to be in the NFL.
Ouch.
He certainly should not go in the NFL because he won't be drafted. He needs to stay in college for at least another year at maybe two seasons like his uncles did, who went 4 years and 5 years with a red shirt. He is certainly not ready right now. I did see glimpses this weekend of what he could become. He threw a couple great touchdown passes, but then he came back and threw two terrible picks. And his offensive line was abused by the Gators' defensive line all day, so he didn't get a lot of help. But I think he will get better over time. I think just the fact that on week one he was expected to be the next Peyton Manning was a little too much to overcome. So,
Milk, aren't his stats like through the same number of games as Eli and Peyton almost identical at this point?
Peyton's first year was terrible. His first few games were terrible. But we forget, you know, that's 20 years ago. So I don't know. I'm not giving up on Arch Manning. But no, he was not the greatest quarterback ever on his third start of his college career. Give him time. He'll get better.
All right. Is that your only one to the bar? You can bring two if you want. We're doing that this week.
No, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, Napier, Baker? Maybe? Napier?
So I understand, you're bringing someone from college football in Florida, right?
Yes, that's right.
I just wanted to understand.
Well, I'm bringing two people. I'm going to take the same liberty here. I want to bring Chase DeLauder, who was the Cleveland Guardians center fielder who made his major league debut in the first round of the postseason. And on the second batter of the game, got a can of corn fly ball to him in center field and promptly dropped it. But I mean, only six guys have ever made their major league debut in the postseason. And that's actually pretty cool. In his defense, he like kind of looked at it right from the get go and was like, it's in the sun. I don't have it. I mean, he did not have that ball. He did his
best.
That's
the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah. I mean, you could see he was like, oh, I cannot believe this is like the dream where you're naked in school for him. So I'm going to buy him a drink. And then the other one who maybe I'm going to take him out behind the bar. That might be a better thing is the Arizona Cardinals running back. How do you say this guy's name? Amari DeMarcado.
Not going to work here anymore.
Amari, go sell insurance because this clown busted a long touchdown run. And like we see this every week now, it seems like he dropped the ball before he crossed the goal line.
I don't understand.
It goes through for a touchback. Oh, and guess who's out of their Survivor League now because of that? This guy right here. All he had to do was score that touchdown, and the game's over. And instead, you know, it ends up that they lose on a last-second field goal. So I'm going to take him out, maybe like Mark Sanchez back, you know, in an alley or
do
something.
Do some wind sprints in the alley?
See what happens.
By the way, the interception that turned into a fumble, which turned into a Titans TD, was even worse.
Yes, right. I mean, yes,
that was crazy. True.
All right, well, let's get to it, Rooster. NFL Week 5 is almost in the books. We got to say that because we got Monday night tonight. But what were the observations? What did you guys see?
I'll tell you what I'm seeing big time from all of the prognosticators out there is overreaction Monday. You think this was Week 1, for crying out loud. I mean, yeah, the Bills and the Eagles lost. But They're not collapsing. It's not the end of the world. They're not firing their coaches. They're two good teams sitting atop their divisions at 4-1. The Bills were just flat. I don't know. They were flat as hell. But the Eagles, I'd like to chat about this with you guys without Toby here. I mean, just objectively, yes. Doesn't it seem like it got into their OC's head and Hurts' head. We have got to throw more passes to A.J. Brown. And they got away from their game plan. They ran Saquon six times the whole game. Oh. Nonetheless, they were up. They won the first three quarters handily. They were up 17-3.
So Saquon had one touch in the second half, one handoff in the second
six
half.
Six carries
is that right?
Total in the entire
six
game.
Six total carries.
How does that happen? Is he hurt?
They just got away from their game plan.
Well,
and
it's funny
up,
you say that.
I think.
And House just sent a text that said that Saquon has popped up on today's injury report.
Yeah.
With a knee issue. But, well, Rooster, one thing you didn't mention was that the Eagles were facing the Denver Broncos, which are led by quarterback Bo Nix.
Oh, boy.
anything you'd like to say about that?
I want to say that Bo Nix played exceptionally well.
Yeah.
The Broncos defense had been predicted to be one of the top two or three in the league, and they played like it against the Eagles. Their defensive line. The other thing is the Eagles have lost a couple of starting offensive linemen. One more in that game went out. And Hurts did not have a lot of time to throw the ball and was unable to run it himself. So I think the Broncos called a great defensive game, and the Eagles called a terrible offensive game. And, you know, the Broncos won a tight one.
At what point, let me ask you this, because you guys are the football guys. What team doesn't have offensive line issues at some point during the season?
It's a good question because I feel
thank you.
I feel like in particular this season, I mean, you know, Washington got a nice win in L.A. against the Chargers. But, you know, you have to acknowledge that they had like two of their starters were out. And then in the middle of the game, they lost the third one. You know, we've had a guy out all season. Milk, we know the Bucks have had. I mean, these linemen are, you know, it just seems like they're getting more and more fragile for 330-pound guys, right?
Yeah. Well, next man up, right? I mean, look, the Eagles, the most shocking thing for me in all seriousness, because their defense is – honestly, I think the best in the NFL. I saw them the week before in Tampa. And to give up 18 points in the fourth quarter was shocking, unheard of. And so, yeah, I don't and to obviously not score any themselves. Maybe Saquon's hurt. Maybe that's the reason. But just now, very uncharacteristic.
To be fair, and I can't believe I'm doing this, but to be fair to the Eagles, I think this is their second loss in the last 20 games they've played. I mean, you're allowed to have a clunker of a quarter.
Right. The world is not coming to an end.
They're going to beat the Giants, sorry, Rooster, by 30 points on Thursday.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So it's, let's not overreact. Now, if Saquon is hurt, then I may change my statement.
Even if Saquon is hurt, if they just get on the same page and come up with an intelligent offensive game plan, they're going to beat most teams they play, without Saquon.
I agree.
That was just a terrible game plan.
If you want to talk about disappointing teams, I think you got to look at Baltimore and Buffalo too, right?
Oh my God, 1-4 Baltimore Ravens. Can you believe it?
What? How? I mean, how? I know Lamar didn't play yesterday, right? He was out.
Right.
But I mean, 44-10. I mean, you know, even if your MVP quarterback is out, your defense isn't supposed to give up 44, right?
Right. Their defense is terrible this year. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, are they crossed off? Are they done?
I think they are. How do you come back from 1-4 in the AFC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the AFC's got good teams.
I think they're only hoping Cincinnati's so bad. So
they were down multiple guys on defense yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I think Roquan Smith was out, Marlon Humphrey, all these guys, all their big starters were out. I mean, it was a disaster. No Lamar, no defense. That's what you get, 40-10. Yeah, I mean, that's 1-4. I don't know, unless
that the teams that continued to roll though were the Colts, the Lions, your Bucks, Milk, and surprisingly to me, the 49ers. Without their starting quarterback or Kittle.
Well, that how are the Niners? They're 4-1.
Yeah.
That's very surprising.
Quietly.
McCaffrey is playing like he did 2-3 years ago, and no one's really noticing it yet. And their no name wide receivers are doing just well enough.
Yeah.
They also have some backup tight ends that are playing pretty well. This guy Tongas, who filled in for Kittle, has had two, I guess, out of the three games he's had to play so far, two of them have been really good.
So when do the Colts come back to earth? Or is this like, are they legit an offensive power?
I think they're legit.
Sure looks like it. Well, talk about an offensive line that's performing well.
But so, Rooster, I want to ask you, how do you say that when they have the Giants' former quarterback that you were probably just as happy to get rid of?
He's playing lights out, and it's proof that, you know, a good offensive line and better coaching really matters.
If you really, truly love Jackson Dart, you will let him leave. Let him go to another team right now. He will excel like no other. Jonathan Taylor, 3 touchdowns yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, the Colts are playing the Cardinals next, and the Cardinals look like they're on a downswing. I think the Colts come out of that game 5-1.
Yeah, it's a little hard to believe. But I think, Rooster, you said it, the Lions are the team that are just quietly doing exactly what everybody sort of thought they would do. Putting aside the Green Bay game, you know, to start the season – they're just sort of quietly putting up a ton of points like they did the last 2 years and just taking care of business, right?
Yeah. And they've got new receivers who are producing. So now it's not just Amon-Ra and Jameson. They've got two other guys who are playing really well at the wide receiver position, and they've always had a great tight end and two great running backs. I mean, they're hard to stop on offense.
We had... It's to your point about a week-to-week league. We remember after week one, we were like, oh, they suck because they don't have their offensive coordinator anymore?
Yeah.
I think they're the best team in the NFL.
Well, Well, how about what everyone was thinking two weeks ago about the Chargers versus the Chiefs chances?
Look, I mean, the Chargers are still in 7 days.
Chargers are still in first place at 3-2, but nobody thinks they're even the second best team in that division right now.
No.
And how long, Bison, what did you see yesterday?
You watched that game. I mean, what is going on with the Chargers? Literally 8 days ago, they were 3-0, right? They're 3-2.
Yeah.
What has happened?
Bill is what happened.
Well, Bill did happen. That's true. they also had some really ill-timed turnovers and penalties, right? So going into halftime, Washington was punting from the end zone. And not only – I mean, they were going to get the ball on the 45-yard line, right? And that's an automatic field goal at this point in the NFL. It would have been – they could have made the game at that point 13-7, I guess. And instead, they committed a roughing the kicker penalty. The Ladd McConkey, Roosters guy, ran the punt back for a touchdown. Not only does it get wiped out, but Washington gets the ball back and gets a first down. And Jaden promptly throws a 50-yard bomb that puts him in field goal range. So instead of going in 13-7, they go in 10-10 at the half. And then two turnovers. One, it's 20-10. And Herbert throws a pick on the 1 yard line. Now ball was tipped, but still, I mean, and then Washington had like a 7 minute drive to go down and get another touchdown to end the game. So, you know, just really bad, ill-timed plays. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what else to really say. They had a lot of yards. Herbert was like 22 of 27, you know, but only for 170 yards or something. So they weren't letting anybody get deep. You know, it was one of those games where they just had a bunch of really bad penalties and turnovers.
Yeah. Well, Washington's a different team with Jaden, right?
I mean, you can see that.
I want to ask you guys, is there a worse coach right now than Mike McDaniels and his entire Dolphin staff in the NFL?
Who's the coach of the Jets?
Yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah.
I don't know. Both of those guys are.
I mean, the Dolphins
probably looking for jobs.
The Dolphins blew a 17-point lead against Carolina.
Yeah, that's
in the fourth quarter.
That's a train wreck.
Yeah, that is a train wreck. He'll be the first.
You don't
want to
talk about Kroski Merritt a little more, Bill?
No, I mean, listen, the guy's. I don't know how he gets through some of the holes he gets through. I mean, you see him go into this pile, and it looks like he's done for a loss of one, maybe a gain of one, and next thing you know, he squirted through for 8 yards. But beyond that, the speed is just, I mean, he is a fast guy. He had two touchdowns running to the outside. And as soon as he got past, you know, like the tight end box, right, you knew it was over. There was nobody who was catching him.
I am going to pat myself on the back. Yeah. And I drafted him as my second running back in our draft this year. And CBS Sports and its infinite wisdom gave me a C- based largely on that pick. And so CBS Sports, you can suck it.
Well, you know, he was a seventh round pick, and there was definitely a lot of hype, but it felt like a lot of hype. That's what it felt like. It's like, okay, look, this guy, you know, he had like a good preseason game in the NFL. Okay, let's see. But at this point, you got to say he's a real number one, especially, you know, Eckler went out at the beginning. So that's opened up the opportunity for him.
How do you have a lot of hype coming in as a seventh-round pick?
I don't know.
He was injured in college, and before he was injured, he was just phenomenal.
Yeah. But, you know, it looks like one of the steals of the draft, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Two teams I want to quickly mention, because you guys won't bring them up. But I'm telling you right now, watch out for the Dallas Cowboys. Go ahead and laugh.
Okay.
Go ahead and laugh. I'm seeing an offense that is starting to hum a little bit.
And because they played against the Jets?
I understand it was the Jets. Just keep an eye on them. This sounds very familiar when I predicted Virginia to beat FSU. You may want to listen to me. Also, what happened last night? I want to talk about this game.
Yeah,
because are the Patriots back?
Do we have to do this again?
What happened? Did Josh Allen throws a pick? It's not like Drake May had this unbelievable game. I mean, he didn't even throw a touchdown as far as I remember. But he was very consistent, threw for almost 300 yards, no interceptions, moved the ball well. They didn't really have a rushing game at all.
Diggs,
we were worried about the Diggs. We were worried about the
like
Bills
10 years ago.
Diggs. No, they're not back. They're
we
not.
We're
back.
Worried about. We said at the beginning of the year that the Bills secondary was going to be their problem, and it.
They're going to be. By the way, the Pats are going to be 4-2 after next week.
But
they're playing the Saints next.
Shouldn't Buffalo be putting up more than 20 points against the Patriots? But I mean, that's the problem with that game, right?
Let's face it, though. Vrabel is a really good coach.
He totally is.
And they have a solid young quarterback. They finally got some wide receivers. They've got some decent running backs. They're not a bad team. They've dug themselves out of the hole, unlike the Giants and the Jets.
Well, based on what Milk's talking about, I'm looking forward to the Dallas-New England Super Bowl.
Milk, how are the Bucs going to fare at home against the 49ers next Sunday?
This, by the way, I almost had a heart attack. Again. Do you realize we have won? We could, as much as we are 4-1, we could very easily be.
You're like the Eagles of 2025. You're like last year's Eagles.
It's
or the Chiefs. You're like
it was
last
the
year's
Chiefs.
Chiefs. Yeah.
But I will tell you this: Egbuka is the real deal. Our receiving core, when we get Evans back, is sick. Baker Mayfield.
He's the man.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, the resurgence he has had in the last couple years with Tampa has been ridiculous. Our defense played. I mean, look, Seattle's very good, by the way. And Sam Darnold is also very good.
I don't know
what happened with these two.
Well, I was going to say, that's a great foil for Baker, right? I mean, like, that's Baker, you know, maybe 2 years behind, right, as far as the consistent success.
Moose asked about how do you explain Daniel Jones. These two guys are how you explain Daniel Jones. They both came from terrible situations. Baker with Cleveland and Darnold with the Jets. They were thrown to the Wolves as rookies. And Baker actually survived that, fire by immersion kind of approach. And they made a mistake of getting rid of him. Darnold, it just damn near shattered him. But, you know, these guys weren't drafted first and third in their drafts for no reason at all. They were good damn quarterbacks.
Yeah, they got the physical tools, right? They've got all the physical tools that you need. It's just putting it all together, and that's coaching and scheme.
Yeah.
So.
The Seahawks are patting themselves on the back right now for getting rid of Geno in favor of Darnold. Geno's about to get benched.
But I got to tell you, Minnesota, really dumb to get rid of Sam Darnold.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Because I got to tell you, you got J.J. McCarthy, who misses the first year.
I got Carson Wentz, man. Easy. If House was here, he'd tell you
the best decision
they could have made.
Well, thank God House isn't here for
but
that.
J.J.,
so we don't have
but J.J. McCarthy now is what? Missed 3 games this year? He's played 2 games in 2 years? And there's the old statement, availability
is the best ability, right?
Right. And
something to go by. I mean, you didn't get to see him throw in college because the Michigan ran the ball all game. And he didn't play much even in preseason for you in the pros. So how do you get rid of Sam Darnold after the year he had, having seen nothing from the other guy?
All right, listen, before we get into our locks, Rooster, do you want to tell us about one of our generous sponsors?
I do. Digital Law Marketing is a very generous sponsor who not only sponsors this show, but has donated our website to us. So I encourage you to check it out at smqbs.com. Or no, is it .net? smqbs.net. Digital Law Marketing does law firm websites, and they do a hell of a job. I searched high and low for many years for one that actually produced results, and their results are fantastic. Love them to death and the people behind them, digitallawmarketing.com.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. How about our locks, our Plaxico locks? Who's Rooster, you got those for us?
Well, yeah, our standings are
not good.
Not good.
House is killing, right?
House claims to be 4-0, is it?
5-0.
Did he win again?
He did win again.
Wow.
I'm trying to find.
I think I'm TBD tonight.
Yeah, Pope and I are bringing up the rear, and so
that son of a bitch took my pick too.
Who House
this week? Yep.
Well, he gets to go first anyway. So
Look who's buying the Cowboys. Look who's buying them. Go ahead.
Yep. All right. Milk, I think you're up next.
Well, House took the Cowboys, right?
He did.
Okay. So I have to change mine because that was my pick. You know what? Guess what? I'm going to take the New England Patriots.
All right.
Minus 3.5 at the Saints.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Bison, you're up.
All right, Milk. I'm doing this for you, buddy. I'm taking your guy, Bo Nix, and the Broncos.
Yes.
-7.5.
Believe
at the Jets.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to take that too.
Get you a victory.
That's a good pick. That leaves me picking against my team. I'm taking the Eagles -7.5 against the Giants.
Who did he take?
Who did he take?
I have no idea.
Rooster, who'd you take?
Eagles -7.5 against the Giants. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got you.
You're taking the Eagles.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yep. All right, Mustar, you want to get in here on one?
Yeah.
You got a pick?
Yeah, I was looking real quickly, and I would take I'll take the Chargers over the Dolphins. They're giving up 4 points. They're going to blow the Dolphins out.
Okay. I like
They better. That's like a good one. That is a good one. Okay. Hey, Rooster, tell us about another one of our sponsors.
I think right now we should talk about Injury Board, injuryboard.org, and let Milk tell us about them.
Yes. It's once again, you know, it's the premier networking membership organization for trial lawyers in the United States and Canada. Moose Jaw is a member.
And the United Kingdom. Don't forget about the United
Kingdom. You're right.
Yep.
We have our members-only summit coming up this week, all headed to Savannah, Georgia for a good time. No alcohol at our events, of course. But,
Looks like a beautiful place, too. It looks like a beautiful place.
It is. It's going to be nice and grateful to have you guys as members.
All right. Well, thanks for all you do, Milk, and for IB's support.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get a quick college football update. We got to get to the main event here with Moose Jaw, but let's get a quick college football update, Milk.
Well, I will tell you this. We are far away from the preseason where we had Texas and Penn State as 1 and 2 in the AP poll. They are both gone out of the rankings. And I think the game to talk about, of course, is Penn State's loss at UCLA over the weekend. I cannot put into words how unbelievable that game was for them to lose, especially coming off of their loss against Oregon, where they took them to overtime. And I think Oregon's probably one of the best teams in the country. To go out to UCLA, who had not led, this is unbelievable. They're 0-4. They had not led for a second in any of the four games. They had never had a lead in any of the four games. They led the entire game when suddenly Penn State comes into play. They had an interim OC, Neuheisel's son, who's carried off the team, who implemented a new offense 48 hours before the game, by the way. I mean, this is like, I went from Penn State possibly winning the national championship in the preseason and definitely making the playoff. I'm not sure James Franklin is coach of Penn State in January.
Milk, I mean, here's the question on that, right? We always, at least I always talk about how these are all kids, right? This is why, you know, bet on them at your own risk, right? They're kids. But the knock on Penn State has been Franklin can't win the big game, and he hasn't. Did that loss to Oregon, was that literally the popping of the balloon? I mean, is that it? The kids now believe it and they're not there playing for anything because they just don't think this guy can get them there?
I mean, if that is true, if he's lost the locker room, and he may have, and especially now, then yeah, I mean, he's done. You got to move on. They don't believe that he's going to get them ever to a national championship. Look, there are upsets every single year in college football. Virginia upsets FSU. Virginia's a decent football team. USF beats Florida. USF's ranked 18th in the country right now. That's the most unacceptable loss. I can't even put into words how crazy that loss was. Just how UCLA was playing. The coaches are fired. New offenses. Their Penn State's players are better pretty much on every position. To your point, that to me seems like, oh shit, I don't care anymore. We're over here. We're across the country. We've gone West Coast. Screw this guy. I don't want to play for him. The wheels might be off in Penn State. And he said it himself in the post-game interview. He said, going to have to start looking at me, basically. We're going to have to go top from bottom, and that starts for me. I think that's it for him. Unless he wins out and beats, if they're playing Ohio State.
Right. It's almost as shocking as another upset this weekend. Milk?
You're not referring to the Gators, I hope.
I am. I'm referring to the Gators, who are in complete disarray, looked like an abomination.
I am not going. Let me tell you. Here's my thoughts on the Gators. Okay, I'm not going to talk a long time on them. Winning is better than losing always. Okay, and Texas is not ranked anymore, and Texas is not a ranked team. They should not have been ninth in the country. They had played nobody. They played one game against Ohio State, lost, looked terrible. Arch looks like he's a struggling freshman rookie quarterback. Our defense has played well. Throughout, even in this collapse over the last month, they have actually played like a championship defense. Our offenses look terrible. I will say this. One of the only bright spots I will highlight is, and I previewed him in the preseason show, Dallas Wilson, you will get to know his name, went off. It was his first game he'd played all year, five-star wide receiver. He had 111 yards and two touchdowns and helped win that game. It's funny how a great wide receiver can make a struggling quarterback look pretty damn good. And when you throw an out, 15-yard out that turns into a 60-yard touchdown reception because of your wide receiver, that helps. Good win, but, it's the SEC. Guess where Florida's playing this week? At Texas A&M, a top five team. That should be a hellish trip there. One other thing I'll note on college football, it's always a joy to see Florida State lose. I was hard on Carson Beck earlier in the year. I really did not expect this. I thought for sure this would go the other way, right? $4 million, he's going down to South Beach. This thing could have turned into an absolute train wreck. He is proving all of us wrong. Four touchdowns in that game. He looked unbelievable. I know Florida State tried to make some comeback at the end. That game was over. They got absolutely dominated. Miami, in my opinion, is the best team in the country.
Wow.
And I think they've got the best players and the best defense.
He is or is not dating a Cavender girl right now?
He's dating everybody. He's doing whatever he wants. He's living the life, and he makes $4 million a year.
Not anymore? Is that over? Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
He's having a good time. All right.
Yeah.
So, I was going to tee that one up for you, Milk. So
but also good win by, I don't know. I guess Vanderbilt is now a big game. Bama is clearly back. Ty Simpson looks great. I hate to say it. DeBoer looks, his job is absolutely safe. Next week, Brewster's matchup, Indiana at Oregon, Mendoza versus Dante Moore. That's a huge matchup, 7-3. Not a lot of other great games. Ohio State plays at Illinois. They have a chance to actually do something after their debacle against Indiana.
Alabama-Missouri?
Alabama-Missouri is interesting. I think Missouri, I know they're undefeated, and I know it's at Missouri. I think Alabama goes in there and probably spanks them 10 to 14 points. In fact, when we get to our betting material matters, I might be taking Alabama. So Yeah, it's right. Things are starting to square up here.
Well, before we get to our picks, Rooster, give us another one of our sponsors.
Assembly Software. They brought us TrialWorks, and before that, Needles and Pins and Needles, and now the cloud-based system Neos, which is fantastic. If you're looking for a new a case management system that resides in the cloud and allows you to work on your cases from anywhere, and a company that has great tech support for your staff, check out assembly.com.
And by the way, Assembly, like every week, has like a university kind of program where you can log in and watch a webinar on how to use a different feature. And all those webinars are on the website. So they're like constantly, you know, educating their clients and their customers. So thanks to Assembly.
Before we get off college football, I saw a report today that Deion Sanders is very ill, is in a lot of pain. I wouldn't be surprised if he has to step down as the head coach of Colorado and the Buffs take a big step backwards.
Wow.
From all the progress they made. They're terrible
this
year.
Is this his foot issue?
Well, he had bladder cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
He's
right.
He's sick.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's horrible.
All right. We got to do our picks.
All right. So,
I think, according to House. I start us off, right?
Yes. According to House, Milk is 4-1. After last week, then Pope, then me, and then House and Bison at 1-4.
Bison 1-4. Come on, man. I'm taking Bama. I told you.
Damn it.
I think it's minus. Is it minus 2.5?
2.5. Yeah.
Good pick.
I think they'll win that handily.
All right. Pope would be next.
Pope takes Oklahoma +2.5 versus Texas. Not sure that's such a great pick, but we'll see.
Rooster, you're up.
I am going all in on the one ranked team that has not let anyone down this year, Ohio State, -14.5 against Illinois.
All right. And then we've got House, who took USF +1.5 at North Texas. He had to look pretty deep to find that matchup, right?
North Texas is undefeated. Watch out. All right.
And then I'll bring up the rear, and I'm going to take Michigan getting 2.5.
Yeah, that's a good one.
At USC, which seems like a chump sucker pick, but I'm going to take it anyway because
I'm
1-4.
I like that pick.
All right, I got to jump in real quickly.
All right.
And I'm going deep, deep down into the bowels of college football because
University
of Toronto.
No,
McGill. No, they don't have a good football team.
McGill School of Dentistry.
So, as you know, my stepson is at the University of Akron, and they just beat Central Michigan coming back and homecoming weekend. So, I'm going to take Akron, who's +10.5 over Miami of Ohio this week.
Wow.
All right. Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Let's
all right.
go. Zips. So we'll call it for the Zips of Akron.
All right.
That's right.
All right, Rooster, let's get to our last sponsor before we get to the main event here.
All right. Will do. Looking to add AI to your firm toolbox to work with your case management system and get you pre-printed med chronos and demand letters, et cetera, check out Supio, supio.com. They are providing superior AI for law firms and are a huge sponsor of many of the groups we all belong to, supio.com.
And if you guys listen to the Elevate podcast by IB member Ben Gideon, they just did an interview with a couple of the Supio guys on uses and how they're using it in firms. It's worth a listen for sure. So, all right, we got a real life Canadian here.
Are we doing CFL picks?
No, we are not doing CFL picks. Don't push your luck, Moose Jaw. You're here for one reason only.
Come on, you've got
easy, buddy.
You've got 90 seconds to do the NHL. Don't waste your time.
All right, let's do it. Real life Canadian. Go.
Big news in the NHL. Connor McDavid signs a 2-year, $35 million extension with Edmonton. Great for the Oilers. McDavid, Drysdale are tied up. They've got one major problem. They don't have a goaltender that can stop a puck in the playoffs. So until they get put some money into goaltending because I think you all know goaltending wins Stanley Cups, right, Milk?
Was there actually a chance he was going to leave? I mean,
yeah, for sure there would be.
You thought for so? Sure. I don't know.
Yeah, no, there would be, lock for him sure. Up. I mean, there, you know, places
for
like
income tax reasons too.
No, it's, you know what? I think he'd probably love to play in Toronto if he got the chance. But yeah, there was a chance he would leave because I'll tell you, Edmonton's not the greatest place in the world to live in the winter. Okay. No. Just saying. Rich just sent me a question earlier about Connor Bedard. Can we move on from this kid? No, we're not going to move on from the kid because he's 2 years into his career and he broke his jaw the first year. And the Blackhawks are a terrible organization right now. First of all, I agree that we should stop saying the next one is coming in every sport. Every first pick overall is the next one, and they rarely work out.
Except for the next Dennis Potvin, who was drafted by the Islanders.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but he's not going to work out that well either. but you know what? This idea that everyone's a generational talent, they're not. But Connor Bedard's going to be a very, very good hockey player over the next 15 years. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Panthers dynasty. Dynasty is a very different term than it once was. Back when Rooster and I were growing up, there were the Canadians of the 70s and the Islanders of the 80s, and then Milk and Bison were born. And those were 5-year runs of Stanley Cup champions. Yeah. The Panthers are a dynasty. 2 Stanley Cups, a finals appearance in a salary cap age, that's a dynasty.
Oh, I don't know. I think you got to have 3. I think you need 3 cups.
No, I don't think so.
Not in a row. Not in a row.
But I think the Panthers are in some serious trouble this year. Kachuk's not going to come back until Christmas at the earliest. Barkov's out for the year. He's out for the year. Okay. ACL. So big problem there. And they'll make the playoffs, but I think they're going to struggle. They won't win a Stanley Cup this year.
Have they gotten out of the bars yet? Are they still partying?
Oh, you know what? They partied like crazy 2 years ago. They did okay. So you know what? Right. So Panthers dynasty, they're not going to make the finals or win a Stanley Cup, but they're still a very good hockey team.
Okay, that's a bold prediction.
My 3 to 5 seconds for House, the Flyers will not make the Stanley Cup.
Okay, great. And let's move on.
Or the playoffs, sorry. So let's move on
from
that.
That's awesome.
Interesting about the season this year. Remember, this year we have the Olympic break, and that can play real problems with an NHL schedule. You've got a 2.5-week break to the schedule. You got guys going over to Italy from all countries. You don't know what's going to happen injury-wise. I mean, there were injuries coming out of 4 nations. So this is a harder year to pick because of the Olympic break. I will tell you, though, I am picking the Dallas Stars in the West, and I'm picking the Carolina Hurricanes in the East. Dallas Stars to win the Stanley Cup this year. Thank God Pope is not on today.
Dallas Stars?
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, Mikko Rantanen showed something last year in the playoffs that was just incredible. They've got good goaltending. They've got a lot of good pieces. Hart Trophy, most valuable player. I think it's going to go to Mikko Rantanen. Norris, Cale Makar, and the Calder Trophy for the Rookie of the Year, Michael Misa in San Jose.
No.
And I got to tell you, that San Jose team in 3 to 5 years, look out, between Celebrini and Misa and some other pieces, they're going to be a good hockey team.
Hey, Moose, when Ken Dryden and Bernie Parent died, we tried to pay them proper homage. Yeah. But is there anything you want to tell these young guys about how special those two were?
Bernie Parent was one of the greatest goalies that ever played. He really was. And backstopped the Flyers to 2 Stanley Cups. Everything you heard about Bernie Parent also was he was a complete gentleman and just an amazing human being. Ken Dryden, I got the opportunity to meet him a couple times. He was he became a lawyer, worked in a law office at Osler Hoskin in Toronto, which is one of the largest firms in Canada.
He walked away at the top of his game.
He did. After like 8 years. But he became a politician. He ran the Leafs. I mean, the man was an incredible person. He was so well-spoken. He was so out of the mold of a hockey player from the 70s. He was one of the first guys to jump from college. Remember, he came out of Cornell, into the Stanley Cup playoffs and backstopped the Canadians to beat the Chicago Blackhawks the first year. An incredible life, an incredible person, and both of them are going to be very, very missed in the hockey world.
So, Moose, I want to stick with goaltending for a second. If you have one goalie you need in a playoff game seven this season, who are you taking?
I'm gonna say right now I'm gonna stick with the Dallas Stars and Jake Oettinger.
Okay,
I'm gonna stick with him because I think you're gonna need a performance like that. So that's where I go.
Okay, who's give us one or two rookies or young guys just in general who we may not know about?
Well, there's Matt Schaefer, who was just drafted. I guess he's the Islanders' first round pick this year, and he's going to be a great player. There's a kid up in Montreal, the Russian, I think it's Demidov, and everyone's saying he's going to be the rookie of the year. I'm not sure about that. There's Snuggerud in St. Louis. There's a lot of young talent that's coming up. One of the guys, the guy to watch is the rookies aren't the ones to watch. You know who I want to see who might make the biggest impact this year? Is Jonathan Toews with the Winnipeg Jets. He's coming back after 2 years.
Okay.
He's going back home to Winnipeg. And all the reports that I've read is that he's skating unbelievably. And that team has lacked that experience that, you always hear, like, you have to learn how to win. I'm not sure what that means, but you hear it a lot. Jonathan Toews knows how to win. And if they can get Connor Hellebuck to learn how to play in the playoffs, the way he plays in the regular season, Winnipeg could beat the team. But he's got to prove it before I'll pick them.
All right. What about Ryan Leonard? What's the outlook for Ryan Leonard?
I don't even know who that is.
Damn it. Damn it.
Is he on the Caps?
He is on the Caps. Yes, he was our first-round pick a couple of years ago.
So I can tell you the one thing about everything I've read to sort of prepare for the preview is that everyone is saying the Caps are going to take a major step back.
Well,
don't know if that's true. Don't know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying maybe they are because they had a great season.
Nobody thought they were going to be any good last year. So
I know. That's why they're going to take a step back. But
It's Washington.
Ovi's going to score 900 goals. It's all good.
It's Washington against the world any way you look at it right now. That's how we like it. That's where we are.
That's the way it feels.
All right. Milk, you got something on hockey?
Tell me about Toronto. What? It's going to be another depressing year? What? Why are they not going far?
Well.
And I also want you to touch on the Lightning a little bit.
I think the Lightning are a good team. I think they're still a very good team. They still have the best coach in hockey. I think Cooper just signed an extension. So he is set. Listen, their goaltending is always good. They've got great defense, big defense. And so Tampa, I think they're going to make the playoffs and they can make a run. I don't think they'll win a Stanley Cup because they're getting a little bit old. The Leafs, it's really going to be interesting how the Leafs respond without Mitch Marner. Not concerned about, if the Leafs don't do as well in the regular season, that's okay. We think this team is built more for the playoffs. But the Leafs have to make sure that Anthony Stolarz and Joseph Woll are healthy. And it goes back to goaltending. And that was a problem last year when Stolarz got hurt against Florida. That really hurt the Leafs. I mean, he had been playing so well. I actually like this Leafs team. The way it's built, because I think it's built more for toughness. And I'm not going to miss Mitch Marner for the playoffs. We'll miss him and his excitement during the season because he's electrifying at times. But in the playoffs, he's never done a thing. And unlike Vladdy Guerrero, who did do something in the playoffs, two home runs in the first two games, including a grand slam. See how I got those Jays in there?
Moose, I just want to know, guys in Toronto, do you guys prepay for your counseling sessions at the end of the season? Like, do you start buying them in bulk now? Or is it just a continuing retainer that you have with your therapists?
I have the continuing retainer.
Okay, I think that's probably wise.
You know, I used to have the end of the season, but now I got too close to a ledge a couple times, so my wife insisted that I go for continuing counseling.
Smart, smart.
I mean, you don't think Marner's going to help Vegas kind of?
I think Marner's going to help Vegas in the regular season, and based on his track record, he'll disappear during the playoffs.
Okay. Mm,
wow. All right, anything else on hockey?
All right. I don't know, because hockey, to me, hockey season doesn't start until baseball season in Toronto ends. So right now,
I don't know what baseball. I don't know what you're talking about. It's football season.
Well, let's do a little quick MLB recap and set the scene where we are. When last we met, we didn't know what was going to happen. We hadn't even started the postseason, so there's been a lot going on. I found the wild card series to be wildly entertaining. I thought it was awesome having all those games on, four games a day, just boom, boom, boom. We talked a little bit on text about, is it fair that the home team, that the higher seed gets all three games at home? I thought it was pretty cool. But the energy was amazing at those games. And, you know, they all went three games except for the Dodgers Reds series, which the Dodgers took in two. I thought it was just great baseball, great drama. That Detroit-Cleveland series, I asked you guys, like, who's it going to be harder for that if they lose, right? Like, Cleveland that just went flying into the playoffs as hot as can be and energized that whole city, or Detroit that limped in. Detroit gets through. The Cubs get past the Padres. The Yankees get past the Sox. And I talked about the Dodgers. You know what I said? On text at one point was all the teams that played better over 162 games won. So yeah, Detroit went limping in, and the Red Sox were hot going in, I think. But at the end of the day, the team that was the best or the better team over a full season, that's who advanced in the wild card round.
I wanted to just ask you guys a question, and if you were watching the San Diego Chicago series in the ninth inning, the strike three call, I mean, it wasn't even a close call.
No,
it wasn't even a close call, and it doesn't mean that San Diego would have come back and won the game by any means.
But that wasn't even the only bad call,
would have been like bases juiced and no outs, right?
Right. Yeah. It was horrific, and it's like, it's just a shame that an umpire missed a call that bad. It's one thing if you missed it by half an inch, right? You know, but that was just horrendous. And I don't blame the Padres for the reaction when the umpires walked off the field. I mean, that video went viral of them yelling at them. And you don't like to see it, but God, that was horrible.
Yeah. Well, I think the story of the divisional series now has been, at least in the Milwaukee Chicago series, and the Yankees Toronto, it's bombs away, right? I mean, we've gotten 9 runs from Milwaukee in their first game. Toronto went 10-13. I mean, these are some big numbers. What happened to playoff pitching?
The Jays pitching's been great.
Yeah. One-sided, right. I guess that's right.
That's right. Depends on who you're asking.
Well, they got a little iffy at the end of the game last night.
Well, but, you know, and I was at the game, so I can't, you know, I'm sitting and you can't really see the strike zone. But, you know, there is that old adage, like when you're up 13-2, you're just trying to throw strikes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? So I don't know, like, you know, like one of the guys near us was freaking out. I said, okay, Judge can't come up and hit a 6-run home run. Just relax.
Right.
You know, and when push came to shove, the top leverage relievers came out of the bullpen and shut it down and the game was over. Yeah. So, you know, and also, you know, when you're up 13-2, I don't know, what's the intensity like? That has a factor.
Of course.
But you know what? Going back to New York, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, no one, unlike the Maple Leafs, no one has started the parade in this city yet.
Well, I have to say, it caught me off guard because I think it changes every year that this is a 5-game series.
Yeah.
I mean, the Yankees are on they're up against
one
it,
more,
right?
One more.
That's it.
And listen, the Jays have Shane Bieber going, who, I mean, that might be the best trade at the deadline.
Yeah.
Getting Shane Bieber.
Rooster, you got anything you want to say on this?
We have Carlos Rodon going, but I thought, you know, we had Max Fried going last night. I thought we would take both those games.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'd have to win. We'd have to get Rodon and then Schlitz Creek to reproduce his performance and then go back to Max Fried and go up 3-1.
It could happen.
Or 3-2. 3-2.
It could really happen.
I don't see it happening.
Do you want it to happen?
I don't see it happening. Boone, I don't think
Boone
it will.
Probably
I think we're looking at a sweep.
So if it starts getting out of hand, big if, do you think Boone's going to get ejected from his last game as a Yankee?
I don't think I just think he's dead inside.
That'll be the biggest footnote in the history of baseball if he gets ejected from his last game. Like, talk about something no one will give two shits about after it happens. In the definition of that escalated quickly, the Phillies looked like they were on their way rolling in game one, and then blink, and it's over, basically, right? I mean, that happened real fast.
That's how quickly, that's how dangerous the Dodgers are.
Yeah, the Dodgers.
Actually, House was texting us saying, our bullpen can't handle this situation. And then I looked down again, and they had hit a three-run home run.
The Phillies have sort of pulled the New York Yankees in this series so far. Their best hitters are not hitting. And they've run into a buzzsaw. I mean, the Dodgers are like an all-star team.
But they're only down. Let's see what happens tonight.
There's one game.
Is anyone? I'm not.
Yeah. Well, this is a big one. There's a lot of pressure on them.
They could totally win tonight and changes the whole conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to tell you. I mean, with all the you were talking about the wild card games on TV, four games because of the pitch clock and some of these changes, it has made it so much easier to watch baseball. And you know that it's unless it goes like into extra innings. It's a 2.5-3 hour game now, and it is so nice. I'm telling you, I know you're a traditionalist, but I find it amazing to watch now.
I hate that I have to acknowledge that you're right. I hate it. I hate the players for putting a clock, for bringing it on us to there being a clock. All right, anything else on baseball? There'll lots more to come on that. I'm looking at Rooster here on the box, and all I'm thinking is hearing is ease his pain.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if House loses tonight, that will be a loss within 100 yards, I think, on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So I don't know if we'll see him for a couple weeks.
I am available next Monday, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, we won't see him for a few weeks.
All right, guys, who's got a punch?
It's this week's Punchable Face.
Well, I think we should talk about this Mark Sanchez situation. I'm not sure he deserves to be punched until we know the facts.
Stabbed, perhaps?
Yeah. You know,
things escalated quickly.
But he's been charged with a felony now.
Level five felony. He'd go to jail for 6 years for this. But the behavior was so bizarre. One wonders what don't we know?
Right.
Did somebody slip him something and he was out of his mind? Did he try something that he'd never tried before? I don't know, but how in the world does it wasn't even a, there was no reason for him to interact with this person.
It was a 69-year-old man.
The guy was sitting outside of a loading dock waiting to pick up some cooking oil from a restaurant. And Sanchez confronts him and says, you can't be here. The manager wants you to move, which is concocted, and then tries to get in the truck and move the truck himself. The guy pepper sprays him, and then Sanchez body slams this guy several times, 69-year-old man. Sanchez is only 38 years old, you know? I mean, you think he's old for a professional football player, but he's only 38 years old. I mean, he could have killed this guy, and then the guy, you know, stabs him in self-defense. Something is going on there.
And Sanchez, you know, he's landed on his feet pretty well after, you know, probably what people would say was a disappointing NFL career. I mean, he played for a long time. He had several years in the league, but never lived up to what the hype was. And you know, he's got commercials he's doing and things like that. So I don't know.
He's well-liked, you know, people who view the Fox games that he covers, they like his analysis. Fox seems happy with him. I don't get it. I think before we go punching him, we need to find out what's the
explanation. Has Fox done anything? Like suspended him?
They suspended him for this past Sunday. And most likely he'll be suspended pending an investigation.
Yeah.
Resolution of the charges.
Well, we'll hold that punch in abeyance, as they say in our profession. Yeah. All right. Any other punches? Someone got a lasso? Crickets.
Pope, send us a lasso?
Crickets.
Yes, he did.
He did.
What is it?
What was his lasso?
Let's see. I'm going through our thread. It's definitely not the one of Baker Mayfield yelling at the guy.
I don't think
it
was the Bill Belichick story.
The Bill Belichick story, or the Cardinals coach yelling at the guy.
What was the Cardinals coach punching, like hitting his player?
Well, let's you know.
I saw the video. It wasn't a punch.
Come on, he didn't hit the guy. Let him. Tap
that guy deserved everything he got still.
Yeah, I don't. I feel zero remorse there.
I don't know,
with David Montgomery.
Oh, right. Let's give a little lasso here. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. He. What's the backstory there?
Montgomery's sister is paralyzed, and she's never been able to make it to one of his games. They're from Detroit, and so she came to this game and saw him throw that touchdown pass.
In Cincinnati, though.
Oh, right? In Cincinnati.
That's right. That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cool. Yeah, there's a good, if you look it up online, you can see like when he scores. And
there's a nice moment online about him meeting up with his sister after the game.
Yeah. There's a nice story that House reports out of Philly tonight, too. This is the 15th anniversary of Roy Halladay's no-hitter in the playoffs versus the Reds. And so tonight his children threw out the first pitch.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
All right.
Can't believe it's been 15 years.
Yeah.
Buzzer beaters. Who's got a buzzer? All right, I'll give you one. We have a constructors champion in Formula One with McLaren locking that up in Singapore yesterday. The driver's race, I don't know. It's just, I guess the wins are just so big because Piastri has two more wins. It feels like Lando's been making a little bit of a run at him lately, but just can't really catch up to him. So Oscar's still in pretty good shape. I mean, you know, he's got to finish his races and can't let up, but it looks like he's in pretty good shape. But McLaren is the constructors champion for 2025.
Apparently, LeBron James hasn't been getting enough attention.
Oh, boy.
And is teasing another big decision. And no one seems to care. No one seems to care.
Poor LeBron. Bison cares.
Poor LeBron is going to
tune in.
I just like to see how he gets under your guys' skin so much. It's just, you know, he's living rent-free in your heads.
Unreal.
All right. Any other buzzer beaters? Guys, good show. Moose Jaw, thanks for being here.
Anytime.
Good to see you, Moose. Appreciate it. I hope you lose horribly tonight.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. We're not playing tonight, but we'll see you tomorrow.
See ya.
That shows you how much hope I have.
The Yankees are at Yankee Stadium right now waiting. They're like, where is everybody? Yeah.
That's the only way we're going to win.
Yeah.
Forfeit.
All right. See you guys.
See you guys.
Later.